the end of
Blog Talk Radio.
Its nuclear facilities cannot be part of the Russian invasion of Ukraine.
The world narrowly averted a nuclear catastrophe last night.
During an emergency meeting of the UN Security Council, Linda Thomas-Greenfield said Russia must not interfere with more than a dozen nuclear power plants in Ukraine. Thomas-Greenfield called it highly irresponsible behavior. She also accused Russia of destroying critical infrastructure inside Ukraine. Thomas-Greenfield said Russian President Vladimir Putin must stop this madness and end the invasion. More than a million people have fled the fighting in Ukraine, crossing over into neighboring countries like Poland, Hungary, Slovakia, Moldova, and Romania. The United Nations calls it the swiftest refugee exodus this century.
As we've been talking about for the past couple of days, there have been pretty bad bottlenecks at these border crossings, and the infrastructure is limited in order to get them across, get refugees across.
Reporter Kelly Cobier is on the ground in Poland. Some refugees, particularly Africans, have reported mistreatment in their efforts to escape the Russian invasion, denied access to trains and borders. The UN warns the situation may grow bigger than the 1.3 million refugees who fled the Middle East in 2015. The U.S. Labor Secretary says the latest jobs report shows the labor market is strong. 678,000 new jobs were added last month, and the unemployment rate fell to 3.8%. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
For 35 years, Donny Coe Pet Clinic has provided comprehensive care for the animals of people in need. Funded by donations and powered by volunteers, Donny Coe Pet Clinic keeps overhead to a minimum to ensure healing is at a maximum. Please join Team Donny Coe and make a difference in the lives of people and their animals. Volunteer or donate today. Donny Coe Pet Clinic. Log into donnycoe.org. That's donnycoe.org.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasily and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next to you.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Hey, everybody, welcome. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much. We've got a great show for you today. Joining me, Dr. Dawn Reno Langley is joining me here today. We're going to talk about you are divine. You know, it's a search for the goddess in all of us. And I'm acutely reminded today, you know, I've gotten a number of emails from you all based on the show we did last night with Mark and I, and honoring Women's History Month, and also honoring the strength and the power of the women in the Ukraine. And I got a lot of emails and about the fact that we took the time to do that. And we recognize the power and strength of women all over the world, even though Women's History Month is a thing that started in the United States. It is not the energy of that. It's about honoring, you know, what is the journey, what it's like, where we've been, what we've done, and where we are meant to go. And if I've learned one thing in 20 years doing this, is it so important, as my friend Lynn McTaggart would say, is for all of us to hold the intention of nothing but peace and freedom and do that in whatever way you want. Because as we search for the goddess in all of us, we will find, after speaking with Dawn that and going through her fabulous book, what we might find is that there's something we relate to at certain point in times in our life. Maybe at one point in time in our life, we're eagle women. Maybe another point in time in our life, we're a different goddess. Maybe whatever it is, time that we get to acknowledge what it is, why it is, who it is, and how it is we manifest that energy. And the fact that I get to speak with Dr. Langley about this and about this incredible book, which we will talk about today, is how much we have not talked about it. You know, how much we have not talked about the warriors, the goddesses. You know, even when I think about the feminine face of God, you know, how often have we left that part of who we are out of the conversation? But that's what we're going to do today, because I have a very incredible guest joining me here. You know, writer, theater critic, editor, writing coach, you know, author, you name it. What we are here to talk about is who she has become, what she is passionate about, and why this book now is a message for our time, boldness that we're seeing of women. The image, and I'll leave you with this, but let me bring on Dr. Lundgren. Thank you for joining me here today, Dawn. It's so great to have you on the show.
It's such a pleasure to be here, and thank you for that wonderful introduction, because it is so important to talk about this.
The image that hit me last night, and Mark and I spent a lot of time in the beginning of the show, the image that struck me reminded me of growing up in an era where men and women, but women in particular, were highly energized goddess energy. Now, a lot of the people that we have that are of a younger generation don't even know Gloria Steinem's name.
Right.
You know, if I say Bella Abzug, they just don't know about that. But the image that happened last night as I was reading your book again, it just hit me. A woman, elderly woman, in Russia, protesting and being dragged off and arrested. Now, if that's not finding the goddess in her, I don't know what is. What do you think?
Oh, she absolutely has it. That heart is huge, and obviously she's not fighting for herself. She's fighting for her family, and that's what this is all about. It's not, I'm not saying that divine feminine and divine masculine have to be split. I believe we have both in our body, but what we haven't done is to appreciate that type of feminine energy that is strong and powerful and has been labeled mean or bitchy or, you know, throw her out of the conference room. You know, that kind of energy, that kind of, there's so many philosophical religions, whatever you want to call them, all over the world. I mean, in a lot of religions, not only were we the top dog, but we created the world, the sun, the earth, the moons, everything. And I think that if we got back even a tiny portion of the respect that we gave goddesses back before the world was, quote, civilized, not only would we be much stronger within ourselves and able to say no and just have it be no, no excuses, no, I'm sorry, but, you know, we kind of couch even our language with these apologies for being female, and we shouldn't have to. But my point is if we do that for ourselves, we do it for each other. And when we do that, we create, I've seen it happen in my own life when I was publishing my last book. I created this net of women who just kind of buoyed me up through the whole journey and helped me on every single leg of it and was there. And it was such an incredibly powerful force. You know, we've lost that a little bit, I think.
Oh, yeah.
We've competed with each other a lot of times. And I think I, for one, I'm trying to give back now to the women who are younger than I am, who may be coming up through the ranks and who need some support. And somebody to just say, you know what, you may not want to do it that way. You may want to think of it this way.
Yeah, I'm at the same place as you are. But one of the things that I'm really, really interested in, you know, that it relates to the time we live in is when you open the book by really having a conversation with us about both the divine feminine, divine masculine, And so often it's very difficult for people to have a conversation about both. You know, in my experience, you know, when you try to have a conversation about both, I always have to preface it, especially if I'm doing a workshop, right? Because especially a workshop with women. And I come out and say, you know, we're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about this, feminine, masculine, goddesses, gods. We're going to talk about that today. And I will tell you that mostly, for me, my show-up energy is part of the divine masculine. And you could see people's mouths just drop. Like, we're not here to talk about that, Pat. We're here to talk about the divine feminine.
But you have to talk about both.
Thank you. That's and I was thrilled to see how you opened the book because it sets the stage for why we need to find the divine feminine and the divine goddess in all of us. Not that it doesn't exist. It has literally vanished in conversation.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yes, I believe so. And, you know, a lot of it is falls under a term that is uncomfortable for most people, and we chose to keep it out of the book because the book is supposed to be about empowering women. But through the centuries, through our history, there has been a holocaust of women, just women. It didn't really matter what era, what family structure, what race, religion, whatever. A lot of the deaths, a majority of the deaths of women in history have been through abuse or, you know, being killed for being female and knowing how to use an herb, or being killed for being female and wanting to dance in the moon, or not listening to your husband, or not cooking the meal right. And there's just millions, billions of women who have never been put on the rolls as killed because of being female. It's the women's holocaust. And I think over the years, we get blind to it, but it's still happening.
It's still happening, and I love that you said that. Maybe that's the next article you write, because I haven't had the right words to think about it. But as I was going through your book, and, you know, I got to sit across, I got to meet so many amazing women. You're one of them. See, people ask me, oh, my God, Pat, every show you do is in support of somebody else. You don't have a book. And I said, you know, I love honoring the people that come on here. I especially love honoring people that honor other people. And that has been a 20-year journey for me. But I have to say, I was reading your book, and I was struck. I can't remember which chapter it was. I think it might have been The Feminine Face of God. I can't remember. But I reflected, I had a flashback of my corporate career, right? You know, corporate career, a researcher, all of that. But I had an image of sitting across the table. And funny, you're showing up today exactly with her glasses. I'm not kidding. I was sitting across the table at a corporate event from Gloria Steinem. And we brought Gloria in, and Linda, who's the producer that brought you on today, gave up her seat so I could sit and have lunch with Gloria Steinem.
Wow.
And I have never been so shell-shocked ever, but her presence was so bold, her manner was so graceful, and I looked at her chewing on a piece of something, and I just said to her, what is the call to action here? And you know those big glasses, right? And she stopped, and she looked at me, and she said, every day do something outrageous. Now, I got to interview her later on in life doing the show, and I got to give her an award. And I'm reading your book, and that quote rings true in every chapter and almost every paragraph you have here. And I want to ask you this question. How do we get this message? How do we bring this forward? Other than you and me mentoring women, how do we bring it forward to ignite that spark that I got to experience in a time of mega women crazy change? How do we do that in today's world?
I think, unfortunately, I think that it's already been started, but the Me Too movement, even before that,
yeah.
when I marched in 2016, was it, or 17, when we had those little pink hats, and I thought, wow, it's back, we're marching again. And it was good, but Me Too kind of brought it to a real moment.
Yeah.
It was like, okay, how come so many of us have experienced such degrading abuse throughout our whole lives? I got it just from being a blonde little girl, right from the time I was able to understand somebody was patting me on my head because I looked cute, and it was never accepted that I had a brain. I mean, I really think that, I'm not going to say the movement, because I think that the movement has gone on and morphed and changed so many different ways in the past 200 years. But I think that if we continue with recognizing ourselves in Me Too moments, then we also need to recognize ourselves as survivors, and we're going to change this past, this history. And I said, I really think it's just a matter of sitting down with somebody and talking to them. I talked to 30 or 40 women when I was researching this book, all asking them the same questions about their spiritual journeys and how they saw themselves as women in their spiritual journeys. And I was fascinated by their stories. Back to me, just sitting down and listening to another woman's story says to me, We have walked some of the same path because we are of the same background. We're female oriented, female, we call ourselves feminine. So that is part of our path, whatever, country or town or whatever we live in, we all do have that path.
Yeah.
And my philosophy of the divine feminine and divine masculine is that I was a lot more of the divine feminine as I was younger, when I was younger. The more I age, the more I find that strength of that divine masculine. It's kind of like flipped. And I see my male friends, they're like becoming my girlfriends, the girlfriends from high school, and they're becoming softer. So I really do think that we balance through the years too. We have this fluidity in ourselves.
I love that you mentioned that, because what you talk about in the book is you talk about so many things, but I went back and I reread Divine Traits because I'm the flip version of that. I'm the kid whose uncles gave her boxing gloves at age 5 and walked around with a 2-gun holster for most of her 3 to age 6 years, right? And it served me really well in the corporate world.
Yeah, we don't get taught how to deal with the corporate world.
No. And, it took me 5 years to make amends to all the people.
Mm-hmm.
That took the brunt of that from me, right?
Good.
But what I love about today is, and maybe you can talk about this, I went through the traits, and I love your conversation on perseverance. My stepmom taught me about perseverance. But I am at a loss for how to help in the way that I was helped as a 17-year-old, an 18-year-old, Bella Abzug in my face, right? I mean, I was like, what is going on? But I came back. And the reason I don't know how to help is I did a survey and a poll. And this is really what you address in your book. And I did a poll, and it's got to be about 6 months ago now, when the Senate had on the floor the bill that Senator Patty Murray, our senator, co-authored, the equal pay for women. It was put there and almost went into law. And it didn't pass. And it didn't even, the filibuster, the whole thing. It had maybe 10 minutes of news time. And all it talked about was the reason it didn't pass because they didn't want frivolous lawsuits. The poll I took of women, one in age groups, there's a certain age group which I'm not going to mention, 0 out of 200 knew it was a thing. 5 out of 200 in a different age group heard of it. And 0 in the entire survey understood what they lost. Now, I need that goddess to show up now and help us. I don't know who she is. I thought maybe it was Athena. I don't know. That is a goddess trait that I've never experienced in my life that we've forgotten. I'd love for you to talk about that because, you see, that ties into what you say about perseverance. That ties into what you say about our next movement. You know, Me Too was bold, but we need a next Me Too movement to educate us all, don't we? I don't know.
We need something that's not based on the pain anymore. We need something that's based
there you
on
go.
Doing it. And, you know, we have such a much larger platform and a way to deliver it to people than we've ever had before. I'm only one person, you are only one person, but together we have a bigger voice than, you know, being alone. You have a big voice because you've got an audience that listens to your podcast. I have a voice through my book. I do meditations every morning when I talk about words like perseverance, and I talk about, you know, how do we bring that into our lives. I think that little bit by little bit can help. Would I like a bigger audience? Oh, yeah. I would love to be standing in front of groups, not necessarily leading them and telling them what they need to do, because I think that's been done.
Yes, but it has.
But I would ask, I want to hear the story, and I want women to think about their own stories and how they've seen themselves growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you, I'm sure that 99% of the women you talk to are going to have some kind of a female role model that she can say, whether it's mom or grandmother. Mine happened to be a woman who was English, and she was a journalist, and I thought, wow, she's pretty cool. And, you know, because my mother was always talking about writing too, that's the role model I followed, even though she probably never knew it.
Mm-hmm.
But Violet Winstead, I'll never forget her name.
But isn't it interesting that we can talk about that in your book too? You talk about accepting and embracing emotions, and I love that you have this in here, because I thought poor Benny and Jacob, if they hear me talk about this Senate vote like one more time, right? You know, because it's on my heart and it's on my mind, and I don't understand it, right? It's just I'm trying to work out, like, is there another way that we can communicate? And I'm reading this part, and on the left of the chapter, you list the God. I love, thank you for listening to goddesses. Thank you.
Thank my editor for that.
Thank your editor. Thank you, the editor, the whole people, whoever did it. And I get here, because I was going to ask you, where's Joan of Arc? And there she is. The goddesses, Joan of Arc, Catholic led soldiers, right? And you go through Inanna, right? Inanna, totally statues all over. And somebody walked in my house and said, what is your relationship with Inanna? I said, where's that? Where do you, who's that?
wow, that's too much.
And I think she said Inanna. I don't know how it was pronounced. She was like, what do you mean? I said, that's a goddess of war. You got her all over your house. See, you're inviting us in not just this book, but the work you do, is to activate something, I think, that is a, that will deactivate our forgetter. See, I think we have like a forgetter, like, right? I don't think it's like we wake up and say, oh, I would like to forget. No, but we got this forgetter. Can you talk a little bit before we go to break? Because I like you, I don't want to focus on the pain, although pain is part of the journey. But I want to focus on how do we educate? How do we inform? How does that become power then for you to make conscious decisions? Here's what I want to ask you about this. There's so much research that went into this. It's clearly for me. I mean, I see it. I acknowledge it. But there's something that was in your heart, outside of what your publisher edited. There's something in your heart that wanted to drive a bigger message. Tell me what that is.
You know what? I think I find that at this stage of my life, I have a lot to share. And, you know, I'm not done by a long shot. And I would like to, I think that this group of women who grew up in the 60s and 70s and were wrong, I think we're really knowledgeable, and I think we have a lot to offer, and I think that we can get it started. We got the power. We've got the voice. We're not afraid to use it. At this stage, my sister always says to me, I don't care anymore. I'm going to say exactly how I feel. I said, well, I've been saying that all my life, you know?
Well, I mean, think about the role models we had, you know, and there are many. I mean, I got to share the stage and got tutored by Shirley MacLaine. And, you know, when Shirley MacLaine tutors you on how to own a stage, you listen.
Right.
I love Shirley. I just love her. Dee Wallace is one of my friends. These are women I never thought ever, this kid from the Bronx, literally, homeless at 17, we'll be talking to women that I just admired so much. And you live in this world, but we have to be bolder. You know, when, and I got to reference Gloria Steinem. She wasn't the only one, but she said some things and took a lot of grief for it.
Yeah.
And I asked her about that. I said, you know, I could pinpoint one thing I heard you say once, and I can only imagine the grief you got. And, you know, we were talking, and I was thinking today, if she'd have said this today, how would the reaction be? Do you remember when she was like Now, the Now organization? What happened to them? Remember Now?
Yeah.
And
but
they didn't want lesbians in the Now.
Yeah.
In Now.
Yeah.
Right. And she stood up in the middle of like a big rally when asked about it and said, very simply, Gloria Steinem with the glasses, we are all lesbians. That line,
mm-hmm.
Bold, controversial, got everybody's attention.
Yeah.
Now, back then, you say something like that, and like, now you say it, and you get fan mail.
I remember we started the National Writers Association in Boston, and Marilyn French came to speak after she wrote her book, I think it's Fathers and Daughters, or anyways, I asked her a question about the point of view she used, and she turned on me, and I can't remember exactly what she said, so I'm not going to quote her, but it was almost like, you know, why are you asking me that? Why are you focusing on the male part of the book when so obviously it's about the finger? She snapped me down, and I thought, whoa, I have never had so much respect for a woman than at that moment, because she had no problem telling me where to go and how to get there. But
yeah.
It just, up until that point, I don't think I had seen anybody besides my own mother who was strong enough to do that.
You know, I love that you bring that up. We're going to take a short break when we come back. What we're going to talk about is here and now. Why now and how now? Because what you've gotten in your, I don't think you left anything out of this book. Honestly, I'm in awe how you got it all in here. But how is it that we know or we can know that we have got that divine in us, divine feminine, divine masculine, but the goddess? And what would you give your goddess's name? Can you even own that you may have that energy inside you? And what do you relate to? When people come in my house and they go in a couple of different rooms I have in here, like you, I've got a picture, like I got pictures on every wall. I mean, you can see from my background what's going on here. But if you go into some of the other rooms in my house and they look at the posters I have on the wall, they say to me, wow, I've never seen a poster of Athena like that. Why does she have the head of Medusa on her?
Mm.
Now, when we come back, how do you find it? What do you do with it? Dr. Dawn Reno Langway is joining me here today. Here's the book. I think, Jacob, you're showing pictures of this now. When we come back, and we are taking your calls, do you have a goddess within you? Do you want to tell us what it is? Would you like to share? 1-800-930-2819. And if you don't think the goddess is best, just stop for a moment, just for a moment, and ask yourself, now, what pop culture movie will I be watching? What am I going to be watching? Or what have I watched in that? Was it Black Widow? Oh, do you think that's not a goddess? Oh, wait a minute. How about The Eyes of Tammy Faye? Do you think that doesn't have goddess energy? When we come back, more from Dawn Reno Langley, and you are divine. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Don't miss Colette Marie Steffen on The Two Just Funny, This Happens, every Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Colette is a renowned energy worker here to help you see the serendipitous humor of the truth. It's funny. Tune in and laugh with Colette. Shift into your highest potential. Call into the show to work on your personal shift with Colette and visit TheTruthIsFunny.com to learn more about all the life-shifting services Colette offers.
Want to ignite your best life full of joy, passion, and purpose? Then join me, Stephanie James, for The Spark, Wednesday night, 6 o'clock Pacific Time, 9 o'clock Eastern, on TransformationTalkRadio.com, and learn how together we can illuminate the world. Learn more on StephanieJames.world. The best is yet to come.
Hi, I'm Coach Martez.
And I'm licensed therapist with Adrenalation.
We want to invite you to join us on the Coach Martez and Adrenalation show, where we discuss understanding love, accepting truth, and changing your perspective.
Relationships are the currency to life, and so many couples find themselves broke in their relationships. We want you to join us for a lively discussion and practical tips and insights on how to turn things around and gain the Married for Life mindset.
Hey, everybody, it's me, psychic medium Jamie,
and me, spirit walker Nicole. We are so excited to introduce you to our new live call-in show called Shades of Spirit on TransformationTalkRadio.com. As we connect you with your crossover loved ones, angels, and guides, and also help you develop your own psychic and healing abilities. For more information and to book your own private experience, go to ShadesOfSpirit.com and also follow us on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Are you ready to find out who you really are? Are you ready to have fun and listen to the soul part of yourself? Indulge in a deeper meaning with Laura Goldstein, host of Coffee with the Universe. This show will awaken that true self hidden deep within you and will get you energized on who you were created to be. So go ahead, grab your cup of joe and experience Coffee with the Universe with Laura Goldstein on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Welcome back, everybody. Yes, you are divine, a search for the goddess in all of us. Again, as I said before, if you want to call in and just tell us what goddess you relate to, go ahead and do it, 1-800-930-2819. Also, Dawn, would you just let folks know how they can find out more about you? Because, I mean, the book is one thing, right? You're an award-winning author. You're a writing coach. You have blogs. You have articles. There's a whole bunch. What is the best way for people to tap into that?
Well, they can go on my website, which is dawnrenolangley.net, and they can find me on Facebook. I have two pages on Facebook, and Rewired Creatives is my business, so it's rewiredcreatives.com for the coaching and editing business.
Mm.
I'm all over the place. You can't miss me. Yeah, I have to search.
And we don't want to miss you. Look, I want to talk about for us, because as I went through the book, I went through it twice, read it once, and then I read it, I think it was last night, I read it again. You have not left much out. You know, and I think about the books that I've read. What?
I have. I've left a lot out.
Well, that, I was just going to go there. I was going to say, you have not left much out, and yet there's so much more to say.
Yeah, I have just touched the tip of the iceberg. I'll tell you, I could go on and on and on, and I would like to, because up to this point, just about 90% of what's been written about goddesses has been written by men, and I don't have anything against men. Seriously, I don't. But I would like our voice to be heard. You know, the Me Too movement is not just about women saying, I've been abused, and I join with everybody else who's been. It's a joining of voices saying, you know, this is a story that you haven't heard, or that, you know, we've been shutting our mouths about. So it's time for us to tell you the stories and to
continue
to tell them, and not to have to, you know, I don't want to have to continue the repeat of the same thing. And I'm going to tell you a real quick story.
Please do, please.
I went through a lot of abuse when I was married to my first husband, and it was during the 70s, and I didn't get any help whatsoever from the police and courts. Just recently, I had to go to the police station for the same kind of incident. Now, mind you, this is 50 years later, and their response was exactly the same as it had been in the 70s. And I sat there in that police station, and I looked at the cop who was now the age of maybe somebody, one of my nephews, and I looked at him and I said, so what has to happen now? I have to be killed before you're going to do something? And he sat back, and that afternoon came down and sat in front of my house because I had basically shamed him into doing it. But that kind of stuff needs to stop. You know, we have a voice. I mean, we have our population, the female population of the world, is at least 2 to 3% higher than the male population.
Mm.
We have the numbers. All we have to do is say, enough. You know, this isn't going to happen anymore. We want the respect that's due us. We want to be treated like whatever is about us, whether our body is very large and luscious, or whether we've got a brain the size of the Grand Canyon, or we want to dance down the street in, you know, ballet shoes. I don't care what it is. We should be respected for whatever we want to do with ourselves. And, see that quality no matter where we look?
You know, we have the numbers. We need to have the voices.
Right.
We don't have the voices.
I think
we can't even have a dialogue. You know, we're expanding our network, and we've got requests to as to which channels people want next, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there are three that come to mind, right? You know, one of them is Want Your Women's Channel. You need to do that. The next one is, Pat, you need to bring back the Green Channel, the climate, whatever you're going to call it. And then the fourth one, there's a toss-up. And what do I mean by a toss-up? One we're being asked to put up wasn't on our radar until about 18 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
That is a channel which allows conversations. You know, a different type of, I'm going to use the word political because I don't have another word for it yet. But a channel where people can have conversations, where they can work things out, where you can ask a question and not be afraid that you're not politically correct.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look, I had somebody on the show a couple of months ago, and they said that we were talking about the domestic partnership, gay marriage, you know, things like that. We were talking about, actually it was about transgender in the Olympics. And the guest fumbled because they said, I apologize. I think it's LGBTQ, and I know there are other letters, but I don't know what they are. So we've gotten so paranoid. And I said, here, it's LGBTQ for you. I get your point. But we have to remove the paranoia at being so practically and perfectly correct. And, you know, I'm talking to, you know, the people that are in my family spectrum on both the Latino side and the Mediterranean side. We have to be able to allow conversations that allow us to mess up sometimes.
And
that's afraid.
Yeah, that's the difference between conversations, which is what I want to see happen with this particular book.
Yep.
You know, not discussions, conversations. Two people from different cultures, maybe different races, sitting down and saying, so what is it like in your religious philosophy? How did you see yourself growing up? Oh, wow, that's interesting. Let me tell you what's on my side.
Yep.
Just sharing of information. We don't have to say, you need to do it my way. You don't have to. You're doing it beautifully fine, just the way you are.
Yeah. We had a request from one of our listeners that wanted me to do a show. I do another show called Power Up with Dr. Pat, and so that is a show that is a little bit more controversial, you know, really digs into some of the issues. And they wanted me to do an interesting show. They wanted me to bring a panel together on the show of people that wanted to talk about the violation of having to wear a mask, having to be vaccinated, and on the same panel, the people that were anti-abortion people. And I said, oh, that's a great conversation. Let's bring it together. So what was the underlying premise they wanted to explore? And it was so beautifully put by the listener. I'm probably not going to do her justice. But what she says is, I need to understand the philosophy behind, don't tell me to wear a mask. Don't tell me what to do with my body around the vaccination. But yet, I can't support any version of abortion. And for me, I wanted to have that conversation because I want to hear it. I want to know how I have to change my philosophies and understanding. I couldn't get anybody to do the panel. Come on, just, you're not going to be made wrong. No, I'm not going to talk to them. We have got to stop that. See, we can't be this.
You know,
right? We cannot be this.
Right. Women used to always talk. You know, we used to hang the clothes out in the backyard and talk over the clothesline, share recipes, share, Tommy's got 100-degree temperature, what do I do? You know, all of that back and forth information has been torn from us. There's a beautiful play It's actually called the Clothesline, which Nina Freelon of Durham, who's a Grammy Award-winning artist, did a wonderful job with that play. But it's all about that culture of the clothesline and, you know, women's jobs and how women basically shared all the information. We don't do that anymore.
No, you've nailed it in your book. I think you talk about the strength of fireside tales and clothesline chats. And I don't ever remember my female relatives, the women in my family, always agreeing on anything. And yet they did it in a way where when all was over, there was no hard feelings. There was no resentment. And when you talk about the strength of fireside tales and clothesline chats, how do you see the strength of that playing out in what we need in the future for us to bring our voices back?
I think that they're a metaphor. I don't think we're going to have fireside chats or clothesline chats anymore. I think they're a metaphor for what you...
Exactly.
You know, now we've got Zoom calls that we can have 200 people on. Hopefully we will have meetings where we can have people face to face. Right now, I'm thinking that I'm even feeling with this book. I've done a lot of books in my life, and with this book, I did not want to go out and do the big, you know, whirlwind tour around the United States like I did with the last book. I wanted to get together with small groups of women because I think that's where it starts, and that's where it spreads, and that's where the strength is. So do I need to talk to 5,000 women? It would be wonderful to do that, but I think it would lose its power because the power is in that small group that trusts each other, that talks to each other, and that is embodied with a message that they believe in enough to go and tell somebody else.
Yeah. I would love to organize. As a matter of fact, myself and a couple of other hosts are looking at how we can organize something for the summer. But it's small things. It's like I'm at a meeting and one of the women at my table looks at one of the young women at another table and then another woman not so young at another table. And by the way, these were the keynote speakers. They didn't know that. And says, that's just ridiculous. And I'm like, oh, like, because I had tank tops on. You know, it was a summertime, right? It wasn't a summertime event. And they said, those tattoos are ridiculous. And I looked at one of them that I knew, and I said, wait a minute, Mary, your husband has got, like, tattoos. Like, what are you saying? Like, you hate your husband's tattoos? She said, no, they look great on him, but they look horrible on them. That little, just that one line of bias.
Yeah.
I thought they looked great. And then when they got up to be the keynote speakers, you could hear a pin drop at that table. And they were fantastic. We have lightened up on some of that. See, then when I think about where we are today, we have less and less of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how women show up. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. How women show up now. We have less and less to say about that than we did years ago. I want to ask you this in the last few minutes we have left. Goddess energy and the strength that it is showing, I don't care what it is. I don't care if you're watching a movie like The Eternals or, you know, a cartoon series about it's embedded almost everywhere in our pop culture in some way. How do we help our sisters and brothers bring that divine feminine to the forefront?
Sometimes I think it just takes a few moments of thinking about how we connect rather than trying to fill the space with all kinds of words about how we don't. I moved to the ocean about 6 months ago, and I've spent a lot of time silent. And I've discovered, you know, like Thoreau did, you know, the guys were silent and they could write the books, but the women were home making the dinners. But I've discovered that, you know, it really does take sitting with oneself to realize what powers you might have and to connect with others that, you know, you can feel the energy, but you might not necessarily see them. I am going through yoga teacher certification training. That didn't come out right. And we've done a lot of talking about meditation and about the power of meditation. And I've seen it come to fruition when I've been in Buddhist groups. I'm Buddhist. And even with the power of prayer in a church. That intense concentration by a number of breathing, living souls at the same time is scientifically one of the most powerful things we can do on Earth.
Yeah.
Not only that, but if we're intent on looking inside and really seeing the goddess, seeing the divine, we are not so inclined to be trying to fill that space with negative energy.
Yeah.
And we're recognizing that the person across from us really wants the same things in life that we do.
Yeah.
We all want love. We all want a roof over our heads and family and somebody to hug at night. You know, that's the same no matter what we look like, no matter what gender, what sexuality, what race, anything.
Yeah, I think that, you know, what you just said is so pivotal. And I think, you know, I've been trying to figure out how we do that in the digital age, really. I mean, there's a way to do it. I know there is. I know we'll figure it out. And I can recall being an executive in human resources in what was once the phone company, having a horrible, horrible time with diversity. And we started individual groups, but we couldn't figure out how to bring them together. I remember being at a board meeting, and they could not figure out how do we get these different groups to talk. This group won't talk to the gay people. This one won't talk to the men. This one won't talk. I remember this. You know, this group from East India won't talk to this group. I mean, I remember being at the boardroom, right, because I worked for the president of the company at the time. Looked at him, and Irvin looked over at me, and he said, well, what do you think? It's your job. I said, this is easy for me. Let's have a food festival.
Mm-hmm.
Let's have a food festival and set up booths. Let's have food everywhere around. Like each of the group bring and celebrate the food of whatever they want. And Irwin said to me, he was the only one, he said, you know, I figured a woman would say that. And all of the other vice presidents said, let's vote on that. And they voted on it. And we had the most incredible. And it became quarterly.
Mm-hmm.
We have to figure out how to have a digital food fest. I'm sorry. We have to figure something like you discussed and like I'm talking about.
Yep, and I'm all for it. You are definitely on board. You know, it's all about celebrating the differences. You know, each one of the goddesses is definitely different. You know, Athena does not stand for the same thing Parvati does, or Joan of Arc, or any of the saints. But we can find part of ourselves somewhere in there and say, well, you know, that's a goddess, so I have that. I embody that, and I am too, you know?
Yeah. And you've given us a wide range to really look at, and so many questions that we can explore about ourselves, which are beautiful. And that's really what I take away from this book. I'm sure there'll be more things that you will write about, but I see this as an invitation for us to step into the space of honoring,
yeah.
You know, and start with ourselves. you know, Dawn, thank you for today. Again, give out your website. How do people get a copy of your book? Please tell folks.
The book is on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and all your independent bookstores or Llewellyn's website. My website is www.dawnrenolangley.net, and my business is www.rewiredcreatives.com. And all you have to do is do a search, and you can find me on Facebook, too. Or,
I love it.
Or Instagram.
One last question for you. Thank you for today. Let me thank you for today. And I have a funny feeling that we'll be speaking again soon. I'd love to know your personal message. I'd really love to know what you'd like to leave all of us with today.
Every morning I have a meditation that I do on the beach. And it's a mantra that my yoga instructor says. And I just want to leave it for everybody else that they can repeat it silently to themselves. I am enough. I do enough. I have enough. I give enough. I'm exactly where I need to be, and I'm perfectly perfect just the way I am. Namaste.
Thank you so much. Thank you for joining me here today. For those of you out there that are just tuning in, if you want to be reminded, it's You Are Divine, a search for the goddess in all of us. Right here, take a look at that. Great conversation. Lots in the book for you to think about, explore. And for me, my message to you all is it's okay to own it. It's really okay. It's okay to own it. That actually is the next step. Empowerment is a word unless we truly do step in and own our power. Thank you, Benny. Thank you, Jacob. Thank you, Dawn, so much.
Thank you, Pat.
Thanks to the best listening audience on the planet. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next time, everybody.